Is there anybody in here today that said, God's goodness has been so good to me that I want to just turn back? Now look at what happened here. That's the last point I want to make, and I'm going to the house. Amen. He said, look, he said after this, he said he turned back and he gave, he glorified God. And look at this. The Bible said he did it in a what, loud voice. And I just want you to know that some of us, we're too quiet for our own good. Some of us, we're too quiet about what God has done for us. And you know, we say that just ain't us. Well, maybe he hadn't done enough for you to open up your mouth. That just ain't me to say hallelujah and all of that mess. Okay, well, you go right ahead, but I'm thankful for the little things that he's done for me, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I'd be. I'm just here to tell you that I can't give God enough praise. If I had 10,000 tongues, I'd praise him with everyone. If I had 10,000 hands, I'd clap them. Come on and say amen, because he's been good to me. I know I had some issues. I know that I lost some things. I know that I was messed up. I know that I was excommunicated from the crew, but that's all right. I still know how to come back and tell the Lord thank you that he helped me to make it through my troubles, that he helped me to make it through my stains and train. I wish I had somebody in here. We got some struggles and some strains in life, but thanks be to God that my struggles and my strains won't be able to stop me from praising him. Do I have anybody here that said, even though I ain't got it all yet, I'm still going to tell the Lord thank you? Even though it's not going my way all the time, I'm still going to lift up my hoarse voice and tell the Lord. You know what amazed
me? We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew's chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Matthew's chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Recorded are these words. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, listen, for verily I say unto you, what is he saying? His word. His word. You may be seated. All right. Jesus says, in his word. Your issue is your unbelief. Before he goes on to talk about the faith of a grain of mustard seed, he makes clear that there is a problem. If you take this problem back, Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration, pick up at verse 14, he's at the bottom of the mountain. A man comes to him with his son who is a lunatic. He explains to Jesus that his son, who sometimes falls in the fire and often in the water, he brought him to his disciples and they could not cure him. And when he said this to Jesus, Jesus said, "Oh, perverse hypocrites and evil generation." He says, "How long must I tarry with thee?" Paraphrase. "How long must I deal with you before you will recognize the end?" What was he trying to say to them was a very simple reality that they must understand, that the principles he teaches us is so important for us to follow to have success in life, that we will never ever reach the mountaintop experiences until we learn how to deal with the valley experiences. He took up on the mountain Peter, James, and John. Now some suggest that the rest of the disciples who didn't go to the mountaintop felt inferior, felt like the Lord left them there because they were not worthy to come to the mountaintop where he had this transfiguration, where he spoke with Moses and Elijah about the upcoming cross that he was to bear and Calvary he was to endure. But as he comes down off the mountain, the reality of his disciples not being ready to handle a mountaintop experience was right before his face. What does that say? It says to me, first of all, that there are some people who will want to go where they don't belong. And the fact that they don't belong is proven right there in the valley. Because if you can't handle little situations, then how can you handle great big old situations? And so when Jesus told the man to bring his son to him, Jesus cured the boy instantly. And so his disciples got him to the side and asked a very important question. "Master, how come we could not heal this boy?" And that's where Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you." Verse 21 says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And for just a little while, I want to talk from the subject, a powerful partnership. A powerful partnership. I don't want you to get locked into one way of entering into a message, so we changed it. For those of you who think you know the story better than me, I had to make sure you're paying attention. Lest because of the familiarity, you overlook the points that the Lord has readily for you to receive. Now look at this word again now, because Jesus says unto them, because of your unbelief. The first thing I want you to note is he characterizes the problem. characterizes the problem. Well, preacher, what do you mean he characterizes the problem? Well, first of all, Jesus could have said, because of your non-belief. Jesus could have said, because of your disbelief. But rather, Jesus chose to say, because of your unbelief. What he did was characterize the issue of belief that was more appropriate to them. See, a whole lot of us have belief issues, but all of them are not unbelief. Lord, I wish I had a praying church. Some of our issues are disbelief. You know, we just won't believe it, just like Thomas, until I can put my hand in the nail prints and thrust my hand in his side. I won't believe until I can do those things. He disbelieved that Jesus had risen from the dead and was walking around and was alive again. He had made that his confession. I will not believe. Well, what is the difference between non-believing then? Non-believing is when it really doesn't matter that much. Non-belief means that you have not put forth enough evidence to convict me or to convince me of the fact that I don't believe, because you haven't given me enough to believe on. That's non-belief. But Jesus said your unbelief. Now, what does unbelief mean? I'm glad you asked, because you're sitting there looking at me like you don't know. Unbelief is simple skepticism. Skepticism. How can you be skeptical when we have walked together, talked together? I've anointed you to go out and to heal the sick, even raise the dead, to cast out demons. When you have done these things that I've given you authority to do already, how can you be skeptical that just because we are separated in distance that you no longer have the authority you had when I sent you out?
All right.
And because you're skeptical of whether or not you still have the power, it's because of your unbelief that you could not heal this boy. Oh, wicked, hypocritical, perverse generation. What is it gonna take for you to believe? How many times am I gonna have to do a miracle for you to believe in miracles? How many times am I gonna have to raise the dead for you to know I can raise the dead? How many times am I going to have to cast out demons for you to know I have power over demons? How many times are you going to understand the anointing I have that I put upon you can do the things that I have done? These things shall you do, and greater shall you do, because I go back to the Father. How long am I going to have to do these things before you believe? So many of us today in church, we say we believe the word, but if we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. And he lists a list of things that we should do as believe, not pastors, not missionaries, not evangelists, not preachers, not teachers, not deacons, not deaconesses, but believers. That means what I can do here, you ought to be able to do there if you are a believer. Now listen at this now. So he characterizes the problem by making clear what kind of belief issue they have. All belief issues are not the same. And Jesus made it clear by saying to them, your unbelief, your skepticism. What ought to go off in our heads like a light bulb when there are things that challenge us and we have known the word of God, and we have the power to speak those things that be not as though they were. We should understand that if we have the anointing of God upon our lives and we know his word, that we ought to speak the word and believe that those things we say will happen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever, listen, we ask according to thy will. Listen, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired, past tense, of him. Let me break it down a little plainer. When we know that we are praying the will of God, first thing we can eliminate is the fact that we say, Lord, if it be thy will. Because I've read the word, and the record is clear that it is his will. And so since it is his will, it ought to sound something like this. Lord, I read your word. And you said in your word that if I do whatever that word says, according to your will, that you heareth me. And I know that if you hear me, whatsoever I ask, listen, goes back to verse 14, that whatever I ask is going to be according to your will. Because he's not under warrant to bless anything that's not his will. So the first thing I get straight is, what does his will say? And his word is his will. And when I know it's in his word and it is his will, then I speak with authority before God and I say it with assurance. And this is the confidence that I have, that because I have pushed, placed, made my claim, I know I have the petitions, listen, that I desired, past tense, of him. In other words, I can get my shouting party on. I don't need no signs. I ain't waiting till I see nothing. I already got his word that if he hears me, then I can start shouting, because it don't matter who don't hear me. If the Lord hears me, everything. Y'all trying to rush me, I ain't. Listen. And so he says, if ye have faith,
yes,
as a grain of mustard seed. Listen, if ye have faith. Now, Jesus starts off right here. He's already made clear that he characterized the problem. We know what the problem is now. But now he does something different. He counters the problem.
Yeah.
See, one of the things I love about the Lord is he don't just tell you you got a problem. He tells you what to do about the problem. Lord, I wish I had a helping hand. He doesn't just tell you about the pollution. He tells you about the solution. And you can see by the word of God that he counters the problem by helping them to understand what they need to do. He says, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Wait a minute. If I have faith as a grain, let's stop right there. There are several of us who journeyed, Brother Anderson being one of our witnesses, that over to the Holy Land. And one of the things we were able to see is a mustard tree seed. Now, don't get this seed confused with mustard green. Yeah. Don't get this seed confused with mustard green seeds. This seed is of a mustard tree, and the seed is so tiny it looks like a black speck, like a grain of sand. That's why it says a grain, listen, of mustard seed, because it is as small as a grain of sand, and what usually makes the difference is the color. A little black dot. But listen, though it is one of the smallest seeds known to man, it produces a great big old tree whereby there are branches so wide that birds can nest and rest in the branches of the mustard tree. And so he said, look at this, out of something so insignificant, something so small and minute, out of that little bitty old thing comes one of the biggest trees from such a seed. He said, now let me help you understand this in the faith arena. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, in other words, if your faith is as small as a grain of mustard seed, that's so small that you could barely see it in the palm of your hand, let me tell you what you can do with it. You can say to this mountain, and in Jewish history, Jesus, listen, remember, he just came down off the Mount of Transfiguration. He pointed back to the mountain he just came down from and say, you can say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. And look at what he says, and it shall remove. In other words, that mountain will not answer you back, but pack its bag and get on up. If it had any question, it'd be, where did you say? I wish I had a helper in the house. Now that's strong. That's strong. He counters their unbelief with a simple illustration of the tiniest bit of faith. Romans 12:3, God has already given every man a measure of faith. Do you know you already got more than a grain of mustard seed faith? You already have it. The question is, what are you doing with it? How are you utilizing it? And Jesus counters the effect of that problem of unbelief by showing them what the answer is. The faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now here's where it gets better. Now, if that isn't enough to shout about, that he says, when you have that kind of faith, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. If that don't get you shaking in your boots, if that don't excite you to no end, the rest of the verse ought to. Because it says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And nothing. Think on that for a minute if you don't mind. And nothing. And nothing. And nothing. And nada. And no thing. I mean, nothing shall be. Well, you can speak to a mountain. And a mountain that don't have no ears can hear what you've commanded. Because here's what you don't understand. The mountain don't have to have ears. Because when you speak to the mountain, the power that you're using is the power that God gave you to use. That's called creative force. And the same power that moved in the beginning of time is the same power that will move when you believe God with faith, that that same thing will happen now. That mountain will get on up and skip on over to yonder place. And when that happened, can I tell you, and nothing? Whoo! Do you know they wouldn't be able to do nothing with you? When you figured out nothing shall be impossible unto you, it may be impossible unto others. Listen at this now. But it won't be impossible unto you. And so that lets me know I'll not get up in the other folk issues. Maybe they don't have their relationship together like I got mine. Maybe God is not hearing them, but I know He's hearing me. Maybe they've not sacrificed. Maybe they've not offered themselves. Maybe they've not prayed. Maybe they have not fasted. Maybe they've not given themselves. Maybe they've not travailed before God. Maybe they've not gotten down on their face. Maybe they've not yielded up to God. Maybe they've not say, all I surrender. Maybe they've not done what they should have done. But I thank God when I do, nothing shall be impossible unto me. Tell your neighbor, nothing shall be impossible unto me, because I'm a believer. Tell somebody, if you're not ashamed or if you're not lying, tell them I'm a believer. Tell somebody else I'm a believer. Matter of fact, sir, notice on the devil that I'm a believer. You may have played out my job, but I'm a believer. You may have broken up my home, but I'm a believer. You may have caused my children astray, but I'm a believer. You may have wandered up and squandered up my finances, but I'm a believer. You may have touched my body, but I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I have faith, and nothing shall be impossible to me. I believe. I expect a miracle every day. God's gonna do it. I said, God's gonna do it. God's gonna do it. How many of you believe He will? Say, stop trying to rush me.
Ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II